That'll be a lively topic, I hope. Looking forward to your calls, 503-325-0010. And what we've got is a bill that's poised to pass with majority in the Oregon Senate, having passed the Oregon State House with the support of our local representative, Tiffany Mitchell, who is on the record now and a sponsor of the bill that mandates a vaccination. And so I hope those of you with some information, medical information, particular or analysis that's well-informed, will feel free to call, give your opinions. And those of you who have questions, call. I probably won't be able to answer them, but I have been, as usual, jamming the research leading up to today's program. And I think I have our underwriter queued up here to tell us about our sponsor. Well, it's 9:30, actually 9:31, and that means it's time for the conversation with John Orr. So it looks like the phones are already lighting up. People want to be heard. That's the purpose of this show, the conversation with John Orr every 9:30 Friday morning. So, just to give you a little background here on the topic, I appreciate you. If you have to hold for a second, I want to give all our listeners a chance to get cued in on what's up. And what's up is the Oregon legislature is just about to pass, it's before the Senate, the Oregon Senate, pass a law requiring a mandatory vaccination with a whole host of discriminations against children who are not vaccinated, including but not limited to public education and public places. Public and private activities to protect the public health. In short, the Oregon legislature has come down on the side of public health in the debate between medical freedom and public health. The public health issue is one which is subject of debate, factual debate, hopefully, but scientific debate, we truly hope, but the devil so often is in the details. So that's the topic for today, so do feel free to give us a call. And I see that the flashing has ceased. So the topic today is a really good one. And I think that those of us who remember an era where there was a lot of epidemic and illness and polio and measles and mumps and on and on can understand why this law is taking place. But I'm going to take a call. This is John Orr, a conversation with John Orr. If you'll turn your phone down, it'll get that weird ringing thingy. Go ahead. What's your comment or question?
Yeah, I'm a retired nurse, and that was my main job, is getting shot and vaccinations. I hate to see them tell people what to do, but to hurt. I'm for vaccinations because I'm old enough to remember whooping cough and death and polio and death, and I just believe in that. And the people that don't want to give their kids shots, they shouldn't be complaining when the kids are sick. Because,
well, let me ask you that, and I'm so glad that you did call because you do have the medical background. We've been talking here at the station, and some of us are old enough to remember epidemics, public health epidemics, particularly the polio one and the iron lung and the miracle of elimination of disease. Do you think that colors this generation and the increasing majority generation of millennials and those born outside of the memory of epidemics, do you think that's coloring their appreciation for the value of medical vaccination?
I do. I don't think they realize how serious it is. And the other thing is they're so squeamish about a shot for their kids, but they'll give them a Coke can and let them drink out of a Coke can, and that's battery acid, as far as I'm concerned. You know, I mean, let's be real here.
Well, but the mandatory vaccinations, don't they sort of violate the medical concept that the cure should fit the ailment, and this one size fits all covers, you know, so many different medical problems. They have
diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, polio, measles, rubella, mumps, hemophilus, influenza type B, and hepatitis A, B, C, and varicella.
Yeah.
Are all those ones that you really think justify mandatory and pretty discriminatory when it comes to public education
I
exclusion?
I don't believe in mandatory. I still believe in the right to choose. I think it's education. Maybe I don't think you can. I think you're always going to have a problem with that, and I think we get into right abuse. But the parents, the trouble is these kids are the minorities, don't have the choice. It's their parents choosing for them. So.
But isn't the mandatory vaccination drive motivated, at least in part, that those who want their protection in the form of vaccination, their children's health will be violated by those who do not have the vaccination?
Well, if you have, the kids have the vaccination, they're protected.
Right. That is true.
When I was less than a year old, I had the hard measles, the kind that is so devastating, can cause blindness and death, and I survived it. But so many kids didn't in that age group. And I don't think parents realize how serious this is. And it's going to get worse as we get more and more people. That's the problem. It's too many people are choosing not to, so the herd dynamic is lessened, but there's the effect is lessened. But if the parent truly believes in the vaccination and really wants to protect their children, they have that option.
Yeah.
And I worked in juvenile corrections, and I would have kids come in that their parents wouldn't allow them to have shots. And if they were 18, they could choose. And I had one kid say, I want them all before I leave here. And he was going to be there 6 or 7 months, and I said, I can do that.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, he was mature enough to realize that he needed to do this. He was more mature than his parents as far as I was concerned.
So are you an Oregon resident, or do you live here? In Oregon?
Sorry?
Are you an Oregon resident, or do you live in
Washington?
I see. So this law doesn't affect you. Does Washington have a similar kind of mandatory law yet?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
What's current. But when I was working, since they were in juvie, the parental rights were abolished, and I was required to give shots to kids that never had them because it was the herd dynamic in the center. We were protecting all the kids.
I'm still kind of puzzled that you feel like vaccinations are not just a good idea, like a really good idea, but you think that there won't be negative consequences to allowing larger numbers of unvaccinated children circulate in schools?
There's going to be consequences, but it's going to be to the kids that didn't get vaccinated.
Yeah.
There's where it is. At least it will fall on the people that didn't get vaccinated. It won't fall on the ones that did.
Well, you know, there's a place called Rockland County, New York, where they, I think I read they were considering criminal sanctions for children not getting vaccinated, and you know that they be these public health problems pose really thorny ethical issues between medical freedom, you know, just being able to be responsible for what choices are made regarding children's health on the one hand, but versus decisions that greatly affect large numbers of people. And you know,
we're not educating kids in school like we should be. They should be getting parent type of training so that they know what they're doing. We just turn them out there and expect them to figure it out. And we don't give them a benefit. And in grade school, high school, we could be teaching these kids what's the benefits of vaccination so they can make the choice for their kids.
Well, it's not easy because there's one, there's so much information, too, that the medical terminology and the critical analysis of peer-reviewed studies and, you know, the medical history of an individual, how it interacts with the vaccination,
mm-hmm.
can go right over a lot of people's heads in a pretty quick order.
Yeah. I just thought it was interesting that the kid figured it out.
Yeah.
And I think there's hope for the young mind. That's where we need to work. Because these parents, they believe the hype. So much of this hype that they see, the internet is it just teaches fake news. Anybody can put anything on there and people believe it. And
well,
so it's a lot of fake, false information they're relying their decision on.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's where I found myself putting hour after hour in, you know, these, the research. Some of it is, you know, there's Dr. Bob Sears, and there's mm-hmm. a fellow named Del Bigtree, and they're very convincing. They sound moderate in their tone,
mm-hmm.
and yet it's the nature of this debate that really does not allow a great deal of you know, middle ground, the idea of scheduled vaccinations for children, spreading them out over time.
I think if a parent is holding their child that's choking to death from whooping cough and given the option, I think they would make a whole different decision.
Maybe, you know, I really want people that are opposed to this vaccination or side on the point, come down the side of the medical freedom in opposition House Bill 3063 before the Senate. I really want them to call in 503-325-0010. I'd like to hear what you have to say. I mean, one component of this is it could have an effect on public education.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I'm hearing, again, anecdotally, so much of this debate on one level or another is anecdotal, but that children will be withheld from school, and they will either not go to school or they will be forced to take homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they of course will still be vulnerable to that. And other parents will just move out of the state. Now, I don't know what the consequences of that would be, but
well,
that's something to think about.
It's just a slippery slope about taking parental rights away, mm-hmm. I think that's... I guess that's what I'm cautious about.
Well, you know, the legislature, I mean, I didn't see any written testimony at the Oregon Legislative Information Service, OLIS. It seemed like it was just infinite amounts of personal testimony. So, I mean, I didn't have time
mm-hmm.
to listen to that. But curiously enough, for the CDC indicates that... their numbers are pretty staggering, that the vaccination program in the United States has prevented 21 million hospitalizations,
mm-hmm.
732,000 deaths, $295
yep.
billion dollars in direct health costs, and $1.38 trillion in total societal costs. Now, that was quoted to me. I didn't go to the CDC website and see that. But
I believe that because, like I said, I've seen what it can do and how much vaccination. I mean, there was lines of people for polio when it first came out. I was a kid then,
mm-hmm.
and it was not a question because it was so vivid. Everybody knew exactly what they were, and if they had that choice, they said, give me the shot.
Well, this law is going to be passed by the Oregon Senate, and Governor Brown will sign it. So people better get ready for what's coming down. I was looking for nuance in the debate. Okay, so if it is not infectious, why would you mandate it? So is pardon my medical ignorance here, but maybe you can help me and help our audience here. Is diphtheria a highly infectious or infectious disease? Okay.
You look up the... We don't even remember these diseases until they come back, like the measles here mm-hmm. in Washington State. And it's because there's a lot of parents here that do not want shots, and they're believing old stuff that was put out that's been disproven.
Yeah, well, one of those was that there was something called Thamyris.
Yeah.
And then even though there wasn't, according to one opinion, not a medical basis for removing it, just to make people feel better, they did remove it. And and somehow that argument has not, or that fact has not penetrated a lot of the public opinion. Okay, let me ask you about tetanus. Is tetanus infectious?
I don't know how infectious it is, but when you get it, you're going to die.
Unless you get the tetanus shot in a certain period of time.
Oh, yeah. I had an uncle with lockjaw.
Well, and all things being equal, then that's a... yeah, and lockjaw is a terrible thing. All things being equal, that is less, perhaps, critical to avoid mass infection, public health danger than, say, polio.
Yeah, it's because we've eradicated it. I think all of them, if they have if you want to argue degrees, I don't know.
Pertussis? What about pertussis?
That's the whooping cough. That's a nasty.
So that one would stay on your list, even though you personally don't favor mandatory vaccination.
It's because of the rights. I think our rights are just getting washed away, and I hate to see it.
Well, you hate to see it, but do you recognize that the proponents of the mandatory vaccination say this is a balancing test, and in the balancing of the value of medical freedom versus the public health, and particularly the health and survival of children, if in fact that's a fair characterization.
Because what they're coming from is the parents want to protect their children, then the state needs to.
Right, and that's what the state does in dependency cases, and perhaps some of those young folks that you dealt with in the juvenile system. There has to be a state intervention, and you know, measles. There's this debate on measles that it one of the side effects of the measles vaccine or the MMR vaccine is a significant uptick in autism. Have you heard of that?
Oh, that's been disproven. That's not based on research. Not based on science, based on opinion. I haven't seen any research that supports that.
Yeah. Well, there's this, you know, I try to get diverse opinions. Yeah. And I went to this program, I guess it's on network television, called The Doctors. Mm-hmm. And one of the opponents says that they're 1 in 6 children have learning disabilities, and 1 in 150 have autism. And I guess the implication was that there is an increasing incidence of this.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to make the point that where I stand with it, and that I think it's important, and I think it's life-saving, and I think it's great, but I also think we need to, it'd be so much better if the parents were choosing to take care of their children and protect them.
So we need to educate them. It's just a big job. I mean, you can go through 4 years of undergraduate, 4 years of medical school, 3 years of residency, and will people listen to you then? You can head the, you know, a pharmaceutical company, or you can be in charge of research, or you can be at the CDC, and then you have the benefit of all that study and that information that they have, and you can question.
Yeah, the pharmaceutical companies, I don't trust them. Mm-hmm. I do not. I'm kind of in the middle here.
Yeah, that's another aspect. We don't have any of the calls. I want to encourage people to call in. Today's topic is mandatory vaccination, the pros and cons. But I'll let you go. But I just want to run one last thing past you. It seems to me that the pharmaceutical companies deserve a lot of the distrust that they've got, particularly because of the opioid epidemic. But a rational CEO should not want to propagate an ineffective or dangerous medicine, because that affects share prices, that affects corporate profits. If you've got the great medicine, well, that's where the big money is. So it seems to me they would benefit, according to their motivation system, too, effective medication. But I just want to put that out there. And I would certainly welcome the challenges from anybody out there. So thank you so much for your time and your contributions to the conversation.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. So please give us a call. It's about 10 minutes
till 10 o'clock, and we want to hear from some other callers on today's show. The number is 503-325-0010. The Oregon legislature is about to pass the mandatory vaccination law requiring exclusion of children from Oregon public schools that have not had vaccination shots for hepatitis A and B, measles, rubella, mumps, polio, pertussis, tetanus, diphtheria, and varicella. Varicella is one I have no knowledge of. So I'm wondering if there are other people out there that are going to withhold their children from the public schools who are ready to just, make a stand against this encroachment of medical freedom, as one might argue, by the Oregon legislature. It's going to be signed by the governor, it looks like. The Senate is about to pass on it. It's House Bill 3063, sponsor and supporter Tiffany Mitchell, who was recently elected to the Oregon State House. She's for it. And so I'd like to hear if anybody else feels strongly about that, or you just all of you think that, well, it's a no-brainer. We should be doing this. There's no factual disputes. It's the issue is settled. So give us your calls, and we'll hear what you have to say. I want this to be a spirited debate. Looks like we got a caller. Hi, welcome to the conversation. This is John Orr. Thanks for your call. What's your comment or question?
Hi. Got to admit, I'm biased. I'm fully in favor of vaccinations. Have no understanding of why anyone would want to deny their children and other people's children the freedom from picking up any of these nasty infectious diseases. And I kind of compare, they say, well, you're blocking our freedom. I said, well, next time you stop with that eight-sided red sign that says stop, your freedom to drive has just been restricted, but nobody seems to complain too much about that. So these people that are, like their previous person, I was around when the polio vaccine first came out, and I stood in line. Nobody asked us if we wanted it. They said, stick your arm out. We got a shot. And a month or two later, we got the second shot. These days, it's just take a drop of something. But the vaccines have a 50 or several hundred-year record, actually, of effectiveness. And so I have no understanding of why any parent would want to block a proven, safe procedure that will protect their own children from getting either a nasty disease or dying from one of those. So I'm going to quit ranting, and thank you for your program.
Well, thank you. And I was going to ask you if you wanted to stay on. Are you still there?
I am.
Have you ever heard of the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program?
No, sorry, never have.
Okay, well, you're about to fall through the hole here. There apparently have been, since 1988, upward more than $4 billion of payouts. Of course, we understand that there's a certain small percentage of adverse effects or events associated with vaccine. That's just because with any statistical population, there's going to be aberrations in effectiveness. That's not any reason to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But does that affect your position?
No.
No.
In life, somebody is allergic to everything. I'm allergic to pet fur, so I don't have a dog. Doesn't mean I think nobody should have a dog. So, no, vaccines work. And that's just, it's been proven too many times. And, I appreciate your show, but we had three kids, raised four, and every one of them had their arms with the tattoos on them for the shots. There's no question about it. So appreciate your time. Keep the show going. We listen to you. Thanks.
All right. Thank you so much for that. It's interesting to note that, because I wanted to try and install balance to this program. I'm taking a position, and if it seems like I've taken a position, I want to correct that misimpression. I just want to stimulate debate here. So in that regard, to provide that balance, something I found out is that In 1986, the federal government passed a law which protected manufacturers of vaccines from liability, corporate liability. There is no corporate liability for vaccines. I mean, I understand the rationale of that. The incentives and liability can affect inclination of corporations to manufacture vaccines and public health balancing, all that. So that's just an interesting fact. Then in 1983, 24 vaccines were recommended or required. And today that number is over 70. Does that mean anything? I don't know. It's way above my pay grade. But it's something a fact that I came across, and it could be concerning. These are sometimes live viruses. The contents of the ingredients are sometimes, weird. Fetal stem cells from aborted fetuses are used. I think they use parts of monkeys. Part of the scientific debate was that there are unintended consequences from these things. They're supposed to just use parts of DNA, and the parts of DNA can latch on and become a part of the child's DNA from these components of vaccines, if you will. And maybe that's not completely well understood. It sure as heck isn't well understood by me. And so I was listening to a broadcast where, a medical journalist and a doctor and researcher were just passing around, and I was scratching my head. Well, I said, that sounds reasonable. And then I listened to the other side and say, well, that sounds pretty reasonable too. But reasonable or not, informed or not, the Oregon legislature is about, and Oregon's governor, Kate Brown, is about to approve this law that will keep kids from school, public schools, and public events, maybe like Boy Scout and Girl Scout meetings, maybe church events, public events where people gather. So if you think that's a bad idea, or we need more information to proceed, or you're not happy with the state of public information or public health information being made available to concerned parents, give us a call. Express your concerns. The number here on The Conversation with John Orr is 503-325-0010. So there are some authors out there. One is Dr. Bob Sears. I think that another one is Dr. Paul Thomas. And they have, books available on Amazon.com to inform parents that are concerned about vaccine. Do the proponents of vaccine look with disfavor? You bet. Spirited disfavor. And then there's another one on chiropractic.org, Dr. Alan Palmer, 1200studies.com. So I hear people say there's no medical research or there's no peer-reviewed literature, and I just didn't have time to go into that, but that's a pretty broad and blanket assertion. So those are places to look for more information on that if you have concerns and you want to have those concerns backed up by, some researchers. And then there's another site called vaxopedia.org. I didn't actually get to that, but that looked among many sites promising. So if you think it's okay to keep kids out of school if they are not vaccinated, give us a call. Let us know why you favor that. If you're planning to keep your kid out of school or your children out of school or homeschool them if this legislation goes through, we need to hear from you because we want balance in this program at both points of view. And things are always more complicated when you get into them. And I could do probably years of research on this. Ideally, I'd go into the peer-reviewed research, the critiques of vaccination, some of the vaccinations, their effectiveness, the risks, and, what's the data on negative outcomes? And how does that compare with not vaccinating? So you get your side effects if you vaccinate large numbers of people. Is that what's the acceptable level? What's the cost of foregoing required mass vaccination of children? I mean, really, those are hard questions to answer. But nevertheless, with the state of public information as it is about medical studies, this legislation is going forward. And I suspect around August 1st, 2020, it will take effect. That's what I'm recalling from memory about my research of the Oregon of the proposed Oregon law. So we're coming up on 10:59. We're going to have to wrap it up here. There's been approaches to spacing out vaccinations. I don't know what the problems, if any, there are with those. We have, let's see here, pockets of non-immunized children cause diseases to spread. One salient fact was, let's see here, in Somalia, in a Somalian community in Minnesota, they had, 70 cases of measles. This is a few years back, and that was more than all of the whole state, maybe even more than the rest of the country. I'm not sure about that. But in any event, we have come to the point in our program where we need to wrap it up. It's 10 o'clock. This is Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9, KTCB, Tillamook 89.5, streaming live at coastradio.org. If you missed this program, you can hear it on coastradio.org in form of a podcast. And so we, coming up on news at 10:01, we'll be back next week with a conversation with John or at 9:30 Friday. I don't have the topic available, but we're looking forward to your calls then, and we'll see you then. It's going to be sunny all weekend. Enjoy.